This is U.S. Political Briefing, August 12, 2026, from What's My Politics. Here's what happened and why it matters to you. Federal election rules, healthcare coverage, and several important primary contests moved this week. The biggest immediate legal development is a new court order blocking parts of the administration's mail voting plan for the November 3 midterms. Primary results in Wisconsin, Minnesota, Alabama, and South Carolina also set up races that could shape Congress and state power this fall. Here are today's headlines. Headline 1. Debate Spotlight. Boston judge again blocks federal mail voting plan ahead of the midterms. A federal judge on August 11th barred the U.S. Postal Service from taking steps this year to carry out President Trump's March election order. The order sought a federal voter list and a larger Postal Service role that could limit who receives mail ballots. The Trump administration has already asked the Supreme Court to pause related lower court rulings. As of August 12th, the court's docket shows no action on that emergency request. What to watch? Watch for a Supreme Court order in Trump v. California, number 26A124. Also watch whether the administration appeals the new Postal Service injunction separately or asks Congress to advance the stalled Save America Act. Headline 2. David Crowley wins Wisconsin's Democratic nomination for governor. Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley narrowly defeated State Representative Francesca Hong in the Democratic primary for Wisconsin governor. Crowley will face Republican U.S. Representative Tom Tiffany in the November 3rd general election for an open seat. Wisconsin's election results are still unofficial until the state's canvassing process is completed. What to watch? Watch the official county and state canvasses, then the Crowley-Tiffany contest through November. Down-ballot legislative races matter too, because Democrats are trying to win full control of Wisconsin state government. Headline 3. Peggy Flanagan wins Minnesota's Democratic Senate primary. Klobuchar and DeMuth set governor race. Minnesota Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan defeated U.S. Representative Angie Craig for the Democratic nomination to succeed retiring Senator Tina Smith. Flanagan will face Republican Michelle Tafoya in November. In the governor's race, Democratic Senator Amy Klobuchar won her primary and will face Republican State House Speaker Lisa DeMuth, who defeated Trump-endorsed Mike Lindell. What to watch? Watch whether Flanagan can hold a statewide seat for Democrats against Tafoya, and whether DeMuth can make the governor's race competitive against Klobuchar. Campaigns will also keep focusing on immigration enforcement, state oversight of public funds, and the cost of living. Headline 4. Alabama's redrawn 2nd District sets figures, Marquez House contest. Republican State Representative Rhett Marquez won the special primary to face Democratic Representative Shomari Figures in Alabama's 2nd Congressional District. Alabama held new primaries in 4 districts after the state switched back to a legislature-drawn map following Supreme Court action. The new 2nd District has a lower black voting age share than the district Figures won in 2024. What to watch? Watch the August 18th county party canvass and the state certification process, followed by the Figures Marquez campaign through November 3rd. Legal challenges to the map could continue as well. Headline 5. Darlene Graham and Ralph Norman advance to South Carolina's GOP Senate runoff. Interim Senator Darlene Graham and U.S. Representative Ralph Norman advanced from South Carolina's Republican special primary and will meet in an August 25th runoff. The winner will face Democrat Annie Andrews in November for the seat left vacant by the July 11th death of Senator Lindsey Graham. What to watch? The August 25th Republican runoff is the next hard deadline. Watch whether the runoff campaign turns mainly on Trump's endorsement, Graham's family connection to the late senator, or Norman's congressional record. Headline 6. Medicaid says it will end coverage of some gender-affirming care for minors. The Trump administration says Medicaid will stop paying for gender-affirming surgeries and hormone treatment for transgender minors on October 13th. It says the Children's Health Insurance Program, or CHIP, will no longer cover the same care for people under 19. The policy would continue mental health coverage and would phase out hormone coverage for some current patients beginning in April 2027, according to reporting on the announcement. What to watch? Watch for the formal CMS policy documents, state implementation guidance, and lawsuits before the stated October 13th start date. The treatment of people already receiving care is especially important because the announced phase-out is later than the initial coverage cutoff. Headline 7. Senate's election bill remains stalled as court fights continue. The Save America Act has passed the House, but remains short of the votes needed to advance in the Senate. The bill would require proof of citizenship for voter registration and photo identification before voting. President Trump has pressed Senate leaders to pass it, while Senate Majority Leader John Thune has said Republicans do not have the votes to overcome the chamber's usual 60-vote threshold. What to watch? Watch whether Senate leaders revisit the bill after the August break, try to attach parts of it to budget legislation, or leave election policy changes to the courts and states for the 2026 cycle. Now let's slow down and look more closely at today's top story. Debate Spotlight. Boston judge again blocks federal mail voting plan ahead of the midterms. We started with what people are paying attention to, then checked the facts against trustworthy reporting and official records. Welcome back. Today's story is about federal elections, presidential power, and mail voting. Debate Spotlight. Boston judge again blocks federal mail voting plan ahead of the midterms. A federal judge on August 11th barred the U.S. Postal Service from taking steps this year to carry out President Trump's March election order.
Let's stick to this federal elections, presidential power, and mail voting story specifically. My first question is simple. What does this actually cost, and who ends up paying for it? Every time Washington reaches into something like this, it's usually working families who foot the bill.
Staying right there with you on federal elections, presidential power, and mail voting. I hear that cost worry. But look at what's already happening here. A federal judge on August 11th barred the U.S. Postal Service from taking steps this year to carry out President Trump's March election order.
Sure, but think about the stakes on this exact issue. This does not change the voting rules for most people today. It keeps the lower court blocks in place while the legal fight continues, so states covered by the rulings do not have to rebuild mail ballot systems close to the November 3rd election.
On this one, local groups alone can't cover it. This does not change the voting rules for most people today. It keeps the lower court blocks in place while the legal fight continues, so states covered by the rulings do not have to rebuild mail ballot systems close to the November 3rd election.
Fair point on scale, but sticking to this story, my worry is who ends up in charge of it. Give this particular federal elections, presidential power, and mail voting plan too much power, and it's awfully hard to undo later, even when it's clearly not working.
That's a fair check to keep on this exact plan. I'd add reviews and expiration dates so this specific effort doesn't run on autopilot. The goal here isn't a permanent program, it's solving this one problem. Today's What's My Politics feature. Run the local zip scan for a sighted look at civic decisions and political news affecting your community. Now, back to the briefing.
Back to it. Here's where I'd land specifically on this. Cap the cost, name who's accountable, and put a deadline on it. If it's working, fine, renew it. If not, let it expire instead of becoming forever.
I don't hate that, staying on this same plan. I'd just add one thing. Make sure the people this federal elections, presidential power, and mail voting story actually affects get a real say in whether it's working.
I can work with that for this specific case. My bottom line is still, prove that a smaller, local fix can't handle this before reaching for the biggest tool.
And my bottom line on this one is, don't let wait and see become an excuse to leave people hanging. Watch for a Supreme Court order in Trump v. California, number 26A124. Also watch whether the administration appeals the new Postal Service injunction separately or asks Congress to advance the stalled Save America Act.
Can't really argue with that. Watch what actually happens with this, not just what people promise.
Exactly. Thanks for sticking with us on this one. It's exactly the kind of story folks should keep watching closely.
That's today's briefing. It's informational and nonpartisan. Follow the linked sources for the full record and updates, and make your own call.